Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, Fair but Firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez and co-host John Zimmel for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Three fight. I'm Joe Cortez, Fair but Firm.
Hello, welcome to the Fair but Firm show here with my co-host John Zimmel and Joe Cortez talking about boxing here in Las Vegas, the boxing capital of the world. Well, John, this past weekend, you did your main event.
Oh, yeah, I did. No, I did. I had a good time, man. I like going out and spreading stuff about the show. Dan Hewitt of Boxing TV was nice enough to have me on, interview, and help me promote what we're doing here. And it was really nice. And I want to shout out to Dan. Shout out to Boxing TV. Anybody who watches Dan's show knows how great it is. Anyone who doesn't should. It's a phenomenal show. He has excellent guests week after week. I should know. I was one of them. I highly recommend his show, and I want to shout out Dan Hewitt. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for the opportunity of a lifetime. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, Dan, I want to thank you for giving John the opportunity, because my thing is about training people, and I did with referees throughout the years and other people in all walks of life. I pay it forward and try to get them to reach their dreams and get to another level. And I was watching John yesterday doing the show, and John, you were excellent. You did a great job.
I appreciate that, man.
Like I've always said, I know talent when I see it. I saw it in Kenny Bayless. I saw it in Russell Mora, Tony Weeks, Benji Estevez, Mark Nelson. Just to name a few, Mike Ortega. Just to name a few of the referees that I helped to get to the level where they're at. When I saw that they made it to that level, I felt comfortable to say, guys, thank you. I'm out. They were a cushion for me. It didn't hurt for me stepping down as a referee because I left boxing in good hands. And that's the way I feel about you.
I appreciate that, my friend.
You're ready to spread your wings and do your own shows. I think John Zimmel has the talent. Anybody out there watching, listening, he has the talent. You should have him to have his own show. He's available for anybody. I train him. I get him ready to become champion, and he's already on his way to be a champion.
I appreciate
and
that.
And I hope that you promoters, managers, fighters out there recognize a young talent when you see it, like I did. John Zimmel is an outstanding person to be dealing with. Honest, caring, knowledgeable, and always want to pay it forward as well. He's young. I like when he wears his pink. He looks prettier, but he's a good-looking guy with intelligence, and that means a lot. And honesty and loyalty are the most important things anybody can have in any business, and John has it all.
Thank you, Joe. That's very nice of you, man. Well, that's good stuff.
Well, that's what I say. That's how I feel about when I it kind of hurts sometimes when I tell people, hey, you got to spread your wings. I got to let you go to do your own thing. Yeah, we'll be doing things together on and off here and there, but I want John to explore the world. He's out there. He's a good writer, excellent writer. He's written some nice columns for United Kingdom and been on the Dan Hewitt show and done some shows here in Vegas, radio talk shows with me on Saturday.
Yes, sir.
And we do things like that and we're on Facebook. So I really take my hat off to you.
Thank you, man.
For your being able to listen and grow and develop to be who you are today.
Well, I appreciate that, man. We had a good thing going. We have a good team and it's always been nice and I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I want to see you succeed in your personal life as well, because what you're doing now, it also affects your personal life, where you're going, who you're dealing with out there, and you're going to be very successful. And always, like I always tell everybody, you got to pay it forward and always feel it, talk from the heart, and be loyal. Loyalty is so important. And John has been a loyal individual for over a year. He's been with me. And I remember day one, it was right here in this room that we started with a different background and different cameras.
Different everything. Yeah.
Everything. But you know what? We grew along and we started something and I developed the talent that we see here today. I helped develop. He had his own talent already coming in. And I recognized that when I first met him at a bar where he was a bartender. We were talking. I said, wait, this guy is very knowledgeable. He's good for the sport. So here we are.
Yeah.
Trying to get him up to the next level. I've done that with all my people. I'm always trying to help everybody get to it. I got Jackie Nunes, who's our director of media. She does
another
our
member
poster.
Of our phenomenal team.
And she does a great job, and we're going to be doing a radio music show, not boxing. Well, it'll be music with boxing, but she's going to be, her and I will be doing a show called The Champs. And then I have Dylan May, who's also been excellent, great executive assistant, been basically running in the whole front of the program, the Favor Firm,
yes,
and the Joe Cortez show. And so it's been very, very helpful having Dylan, who's also very, very talented, whom I'll be helping out, putting on the show with her daughter, a show for the community, which is I'm very impressed with her daughter thinking about doing things at Delenn as well. So they'll be doing their own show. It will not be the Joe Cortez show. It'll be the Queens of Vegas show, something like that. The smart two mother daughter show. It'll be great. And of course, Charlie Carrillo, my engineer, camera guy, he's been a producer and does excellent work. If you need somebody very talented with editing, movies, music, you name it. Charlie rocks. Charlie Carrillo, he rocks. He's on the right track. And I think it's helping people to get on the right track. So anybody around the world that wants to communicate with any of my people, they're here for you. My thing is to give them a little push, get them on the right track. I do it from the heart. I just love doing it because I love it with a passion.
And on behalf of, just to answer you, or just to, you know, respond to that, I want to say on behalf of all of us here, I think we all could say thank you for giving us the opportunity. Thank you for putting us on. Thank you for, I never would have gotten a chance to do something like this if it wasn't for you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for this. This has been outstanding. I appreciate all that.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that.
You want to talk boxing?
Huh?
You want to talk boxing?
No, let's talk about dancing.
Okay.
You like dancing?
I do like dancing.
I know you like people.
Follows the show. They know I like to dance.
Your girlfriend going to hit you over the head.
She might, dude. She might. We keep this up, honestly. You know, I can't take those headshots anymore.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, hey.
Producer's talking about Pac-Man. People want to talk about your BS. Let's talk about Pac-Man coming up.
Talk about Manny Pacquiao.
Manny Pacquiao is coming up next week, the 20th.
Big deal, baby. Big deal, baby.
I mean, he's he's been a rising star for the last 20 years. And not a rising star. I mean, people still look at him. The young kids are coming up, think he's new to the game.
My God.
Because he looks new. He's young, energetic, good looking. He can sing. He can play basketball. And he can fight.
Yeah, he sure can. He can fight better than he can do either of those other things, too. The guy's a stud. He's an absolute phenom. I mean, honestly, he's an all-time great for a reason. He's one of the greatest of all time. And if he completes this Keith Thurman fight, if he wins the Keith Thurman fight, you might have, I mean, you have the opportunity to talk about this being a career-defining moment. I mean, this is, George Foreman was already, you know, a guy who went the distance with Ali, beat Ken Norton. He was known as a lot of things. But when he beat Michael Moore for the belt in a fight that Joe Cortez here was a referee on, then that's when he became that next level. That's what we're talking about here with Manny Pacquiao. There's another level up in all-time greatness. There's a saying in boxing, there's levels, and there are levels. And this is one of those where he could get to an even a higher level if he beats a Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman in his prime, right now, 30-year-old Keith Thurman, I mean, we don't know 100% if Keith Thurman is 100%, because we've only seen him once since he was out for 2 years. But if it's the same Keith Thurman that we saw beat Sean Porter, that we saw beat Danny Garcia, that we saw unify the welterweight division, then this is a serious fight. This is a serious opponent that Manny Pacquiao has, you know, in front of him. And and either way, this would be the biggest win of either of their careers.
Yeah, exactly. Manny Pacquiao said that to him, one of the biggest achievements he can make in boxing by beating an undefeated Keith Thurman. He knows that he's the most recognized pound-for-pound fighters in the welterweight division. But I can tell you, I've been around for so many years in boxing, I've never seen a fighter like Manny Pacquiao with his abilities and with his skills and with his discipline to the sport of boxing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's made some mistakes along the way, which he admitted.
Oh, yeah.
In the past, but he's come back to be the person that every fighter wants to be.
My God, yes.
And every fighter out there wants to fight Manny Pacquiao because they know Keith Thurman himself had never had a pay-per-view. This is his first pay-per-view.
And
it's all because of Manny Pacquiao. Sometimes you look at a fighter who's old, they think he's finished. A while back, I thought that he didn't have a chance against other fighters, and he came back and proved me wrong, especially with the Adrian Broner fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've said over and over and over again. I mean, you've said over and over and over again, Manny Pacquiao, hang him up. Manny Pacquiao, hang him up.
Yeah, everybody said it.
No, I'm not putting you on the spot here. I'm saying he's been that impressive where it went from when we first started doing this show where you're saying, look, even though you thought he won the Jeff Horn fight, it's still just, that wasn't the same Manny Pacquiao. Yeah. And anyone who can, you know, have a controversial loss against.
Yeah, even though I thought he won with that when he fought Jeff Horn, and it was a very controversial decision.
You shouldn't have a controversial decision against Jeff Horn if you're Manny Pacquiao.
I know, but we thought back then that Manny Pacquiao was starting to go on the downside. We all reach a peak, and after the peak, there's only one place to go, back down again. So we thought he was back on the downside, especially getting knocked out cold by Manny Marquez.
Yes.
Juan Manuel Marquez. 5, 6, 7 years ago. And here he is today, still the welterweight champion of the world. That tells you a lot about Manny Pacquiao. I mean, you Filipino fans out there know. And share this show with other fans, boxing fans out there, because I know there's a big interest with you fans out there listening to John Zimmel and myself and about Manny Pacquiao. Like I tell you, I had the honor of refereeing 3 of his championship fights. So you know, I can talk with some authority being in the ring with his fighter, and I know his styles, and I know what he could accomplish. And I still predict that this fight coming up against Keith Thurman, if he fights the way he fought against
Adrian Broner,
he's going to be Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman is talking about he's going to stop him within 4 rounds. I mean, nobody's been able to stop Pacquiao within 4 rounds. And if we're talking that kind of a game, you got to be careful. I see many fighters sometimes talked above their abilities and got taken to school. One is Prince Nassim Ahmed when he fought Marco Antonio Barrera. Another one is Anthony Joshua when he fought, they called the Fat Boy, Andy Ruiz. He saw Andy Ruiz to Joshua. And there have been so many other fighters have talked so much crap before a fight and then find themselves on behind the blackboard because they made themselves look like fools. Even Adrian Broner, when he lost to Manny Pacquiao, he said, "I got robbed." I said, "What the hell fight was he watching?"
He threw 8 punches in a round.
He was in a concussive episode all night long.
Oh yeah,
because he only won like 2 rounds in the whole fight on my scorecard. So I don't know.
And that was generous.
You know, and I don't know. You know, so fighters, but you know, again, I take off my hat to Adrian Broner. I told him before, Adrian, keep yourself calm. You're gonna go places. He did go places. But he went a little wild on the wild side.
He sure did.
And that's what happens with people. They don't think before they act. And then they got to come back and face that opponent. Hopefully it'll be a rematch. You say things about a certain opponent before you know it. They said, "I'm not going to give him the rematch. He doesn't deserve a rematch, even though he thinks he beat me." But you know what? Even a close fight, sometimes you don't see a rematch because these guys, they burn their bridges behind them. You can't do that in life. Go, you lost, except that you got beat. But don't say... the guy, his mother, this, or children, that. You don't do that. Keep the family, please, keep the family out of this fight game. This is between man to man. And always at the end, there's good sportsmanlike conduct. They embrace, and they say, "You know what? You beat me, but I want a rematch. You know, you deserve it. I'm going to give it to you." But don't put yourself in the best spot. And that goes for anybody in life. Don't put yourself in the best spot.
That's a good point. I like that. I like what Keith Thurman's doing, drumming up attention. I mean, not that it needs it, because you're fighting Manny Pacquiao.
Right.
But Keith Thurman, traditionally, I mean, he's always been a very cerebral guy. Whenever you talk to him, he's able to analyze the fight game with a very logical cap, a lot less feeling, a lot less emotion, right. A lot less bias, and a lot more, thinking outside the box, seeing how, you know, getting outside of his own ego and ability to analyze it. And he's kind of taken the heel role in this Pacquiao promotion, which I think is pretty exciting, because you don't always see that. Where a guy can turn heel out of nowhere and make it fun. And he did that. He's very much been that. He's talking about people's heroes here with Manny Pacquiao. And he's talking about, you know, he's going to have him asleep in 4 rounds. He's done. He didn't do a single thing against Jeff Horn and blah, 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 blah. Like, I like that when a guy can drum up interest in a fight and become the bad guy and without crossing any lines.
Right, exactly. You know, I think that what you're saying is correct. And I think a lot of fighters out there got to listen to what John was just saying, because we're trying to also give advice. And not only is John knowledgeable about the sport, but you got to start thinking about the facts of life itself. And that's what John is trying to bring across to you fighters out there listening, that you got to do things the right way and you can get those rematches and make fights happen. And the fans are the ones that makes you out there. You know, you got a reputation and you got to live up to it, because the kids are looking up to you. The fans are looking up to you. You're their heroes. You know, they look up to you as somebody that they want to represent or be like. You're like an inspiration to them. So that's why I've told Adrian Broner many times, "Adrian, change your attitude. You're going about it the wrong way." And a lot of fans come out to watch him, and you know, I like the kid. He's not a bad guy. You talk to him one-on-one.
He's a 4-way world champion too.
Yeah,
I mean,
4-time world champion. You know, he's talking about making billions, and you know what? He has that on his trunks. Billions.
Yeah, about billions.
Billions. Yeah, and I think, you know, he still has a chance because he's still young, but he got to stay on the right track. And there's a lot of other fighters out there that also can really go places, but they're Baby Miller. He had a chance to fight with Anthony Joshua. where he didn't pass the drug test and lost $6 million paycheck.
Tyson Fury says he's going to fight him in September.
Yeah, good. Well, that's good. I'm glad Tyson Fury, he has a good heart. He wants to give somebody an opportunity.
I think he just doesn't want, I don't know what you do if you're Tyson Fury. He's not going to fight anybody dangerous until Wilder because you don't want to mess that up. Well, he says the Wilder fight's going to be, I think, February 22nd next year.
Good.
Well, he said they already signed it.
He gives Baby Miller a shot, and you know, he believes in giving people a second chance. I do it. And I think Baby Miller deserves the second chance. Other fighters have been on drugs before, and they've been given the second chance.
Well, you know, his ban was only 6 months because he didn't have, remember, he didn't have his license.
Right.
So his ban's only 6 months, which means that he can fight in September in New York against, or he can fight anywhere else, frankly.
Well, I just hope that these guys listen and try to, you know, do the right thing because a lot of money.
Squander opportunities, man. I mean, how many times do you get $7 million offers thrown at you?
Yeah.
I mean, do anything you can, man. You gotta hang on to that. $7 million.
I think there's so many opportunities for these young fighters out there, John, that I think that they can go places, but they are not guided the right way.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sometimes I feel something like a big father to all my people that work around me because mm-hmm. I wanna, you know, sometimes the kids that don't listen to the fathers.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I've been around the block and I've seen so much going on in the sport and in life in general, and I want to make sure that my children grow up to be somebody special like John and Jackie and Charlie and Dylan. They all move forward. I like to see that. You know, sometimes a lot of people say, Joe, you're like the godfather in Las Vegas. You're helping all these people out. Well, I love helping people. And that's the way we got to help fighters out, mm-hmm. Help them get on the right track. I want to give seminars to help out the trainers and corner men, cut men. Inspectors. I want to
helping everybody we can, man.
Yeah, everybody we can for the sport that we love so much, you know. And that's my goal in life, to continue helping people in boxing and in life in general. But also by the same token, always remember to pay forward. Talk Tyson Fury. Okay, talk Tyson Fury. Okay, Tyson was named Tyson because of Mike Tyson.
Yes, sir.
Mike Tyson Fury.
Fury, his father, he loved Mike Tyson. He named him after.
Yeah.
He's a fighting man.
Yeah.
And he always liked him. I mean, the guy can dance. The guy can move. His head movement's unbelievable. His everything's unbelievable, to be honest with you. The guy's, except for his power. But he can box circles around you, and he's great at it.
He's good. I like his style. And when he fought Deontay Wilder, I didn't think he had a chance. And then
those two are made for each other.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
They really are, more than I've ever. Those are the two best heavyweights in the world right now. And their styles are tailor-made for each other. You got a guy whose whole thing is you can't hit me versus a guy whose whole thing is if I hit you once, you're going to sleep.
Yeah.
And, I mean, watching 12 rounds of can he hit him once is about the most exciting thing I could ever see. It's cat and mouse.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know people love bangers when it's just two guys going ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And some people love defensive matchups. But when you have a guy who's a one-punch knockout artist on the level of Deontay Wilder, and I don't know how many people ever have been one-punch knockout artists on the level of Deontay Wilder.
Well, Mike Tyson did it.
Yeah, he did it. He was, I mean, he was in a lot of ways, very much so.
Yeah, Mike Tyson was one punch, and most fighters was all out.
One round, yeah. I mean,
and most of these fighters, even the stare down, had these guys already.
They were shook, yeah.
Concussive already.
Damn near.
Before even the fight even started. But there's so much in boxing with these fighters. I mean, I like Tyson Fury is and Deontay Wilder will always be a good match. I like to see a good slugfest.
Yeah, I like slugfest.
I like the one with Manny Pacquiao and Juan Manuel Marquez.
Oof, all four of those.
Those four fights, they were great. And I tell you that I those are the kind of fights the fans like to see.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like to see the results 20 years from now, 10 years from now, how they may end up. That's why I said fighters.
That's the problem with banging.
Yeah, with bangers.
And I think, man, that's the problem. I think we see that. I think that's boxing in 2019. One thing I do want to address while I have the platform for it, is boxing in 2019 is different than boxing was in the 70s. It doesn't make it worse. Yeah. But we now know that the more shots you take to the head, the more likely you are to end up like Muhammad Ali or any other hundreds of thousands of fighters that we've seen over and over and over again end up on their feet. And we've seen with Floyd Mayweather how marinating a fight can make a lot of money. So what do you do in 2019 with those two thoughts in your mind? You create a profile. You create a resume. You don't fight anyone too dangerous until the money's there, and then you cash out as quickly as you can and you get out of there. That makes super fights fewer and farther between, but it means we have longer careers and longer lifespans for the fighters that we have and bigger paychecks for them at the end of the day. This is a better time to be a fighter right now. It might not be a better time to be a fight fan as far as constant action, although you have championship fights every single weekend. Boxing's never had more exposure. Embrace what boxing is now. Embrace what it is now. A time where you get two super fights a year, maybe. But every other weekend, you have a fight with somebody you've heard of on a channel that you get. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I believe that fighters got to be more involved with the sport. As far as more involved, I'm talking about exchanging blows. I hate to see fighters stand out there just look at each other for 2 minutes.
Trade shots?
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, give the fans a little bit of excitement. But, I mean, Manny Pacquiao has learned how to survive all these years, even though he's been in some tough battles all his life. And we people are always talking about great fights that are coming up. You got Sean Porter and Errol Spence Jr. We don't know the day. I interviewed Porter the other day, last week, and he told me, Joe, the fight is going to be May. We don't have a date or location yet, but that's going to happen soon. So it'll be Porter and Spencer sometime before the end of the year.
Look, Errol Spence is a guy that is just, I mean, he's exploded onto the scene in so many ways. Yeah. The way he took out Kell Brook, the way he took out Mikey Garcia, the way he's taken out fighter after fighter after fighter, and he's big and he's solid and he throws those body shots that just make you shake, make you quake. And Sean Porter's a pit bull in there. He's going to lunge forward. You know, we know how he's going to fight. I mean, if he fights him like he fought Ugas, it's going to be a short night for him. Yeah. But if he fights him the way he fought Keith Thurman, then we have some fun because we can see how Errol Spence is able to take on a bulldog who comes forward, who doesn't stop, puts his head down and swings. And we've been calling, how long have we been calling for a welterweight unification? We started this?
Oh, well, it's going to happen eventually. The welterweight division is...
Well, now we have it. I mean, Porter Spence is the first one we've got.
Yeah, we got one. So it's going to be happening. They're going to see Danny Garcia fighting whoever. I mean, they're all in the mix. And you still got the Terrence Crawford.
Oh, and, standing outside.
Yeah. So, and it's a lot of good... Errol Spence Jr. is definitely one of the best ones. Sean Porter, the WBC champion. I can see Errol Spence moving up to the super middleweight, actually super welterweight, 154, and eventually middleweight. I can see down the line, Errol Spence versus Canelo Alvarez. I can see that fight happening within the next two years.
He's small for that, man. You know what I see happening?
He can go up to 160. I'll let Canelo. Canelo's talking about fighting Sergey Kovalev.
That's not going to happen.
And later this year.
This is ridiculous,
at 175.
We just gave Canelo so much credit, a week ago?
Yeah.
And said he's either going to take on Callum Smith, or he's going to take on Triple G, or he's going to take on Sergey Kovalev. God bless you, Canelo, for being the face of the sport and still going out there and taking the toughest fights and blah, blah, blah. And now we hear this week he might be fighting Jaime Munguia, who's not even a 160-pounder doesn't deserve to be a 154 champ to begin with. The guy's not on that level.
Yeah, that just came out on the news today or yesterday. Jaime Munguia just breaking into to be a star in boxing. He's not ready to fight the caliber of...
he's not even on the weight class.
Canelo Alvarez. Remember, it's just like when Canelo Alvarez... They wanted Floyd Mayweather to fight Canelo Alvarez 4 years prior to the first fight. And you know what? Oscar De La Hoya was a smart promoter. He said, no, I'm not going to let him fight yet. We can talk all we want about it. And all that is talk with...
You mean Triple G? Yeah.
And that's what happened with... Triple G, even with Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They didn't want to make that happen. And then eventually with Triple G, they did the same thing. Went out for another year or two before it really happened.
Like I said, that's boxing in 2019. You got to wait. Let it marinate and get the most money you can.
But you know what?
Because you're getting hit in the head.
But you know what? They're talking about it now, which is why we're talking about it. I'm not going to fall into that trap of not talking about it. This is what they want. So we got to give you fans and listeners out there what we're going to be doing. You know, and you're right. The fans out there say it's too early for Munguia. That's what we're talking about.
I want to say something. I like Jaime Munguia. I like his power. I like the way he fights. I'm not like a lot of other guys who write him off too early. I think he kind of punched above his weight when he went up there and won that belt, because now he's got all the hungry 154 pounders out to get him, and there are some hungry 154 pounders.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you're Errol Spence right now, you could move up and just grab a 154 pound belt out of nowhere.
Right.
You're David Benavidez. If you're a lot of these dudes, I'm sorry, it's 168. My bad. Yeah. But either way. I get those confused. The super middleweight and super welter, just like you did. But either way, we have, like, if you're 154 pounds, then you look at Jaime Munguia's belt and you start licking your chops. Uh-huh. And if you're Golden Boy, you say, hey, we could cash out on this before, you know, on Jaime Munguia's, fame before he gets exposed too early. I don't think Jaime Munguia will ever be at the level that Canelo Alvarez is. It's not just too early.
Right.
But he will be a championship caliber fighter if he stays along this path eventually. Now, if you're Jaime Munguia's team, though, do you take that Canelo level cash out? Because you don't know if he ever gets there. You might want $10 million to sleep on tonight.
Well, you know, they may want to take it. You know, he said, figure he's young. He said, you got nothing to lose.
He can still bounce back, go back to 154.
So they may not why that talk is out there, because it'll be a draw, two Mexican warriors fighting.
But for the
each
fans,
other,
that's bad news.
You know? And but if, it's not a good thing to put him in there right now. He's only like 23, 24 years old.
He's 22, man. Yeah, he's
22,
a kid.
You know, he's a baby. You don't want to do to him like what they did to Fernando Vargas when they threw him against Felix Trinidad. He was never the same after that.
Yeah, a lot of guys do.
So you got to be careful how you throw your fighters in. I can talk from experience because I've been in the game all my life.
Yeah.
I look at things different than John does and other people out there because I've been in there. I've been in the trenches, and I know I've been in there. I've been fighting. I've been refereeing. I've been judging. I've been training, you know, and I know a lot more. And I listen to everybody talk, and inside of me, I think to myself, okay, they all have their good, valid point. But sometimes these fighters say, this is the only opportunity I may get.
I get it. No, but, I get it. Well, I get it if you're Jaime Munguia's team and you go, hey, this guy might not be as good as we think he is. A lot of people felt like he lost his last fight.
Yeah.
A lot of people against a guy whose name I don't remember. And I bet most of you don't either.
Yeah.
And so if you see that fight, if you're Munguia's team and you watched him almost lose, you go, let's get this Canelo payday while we can and then go back to the drawing board and see where we go from here.
And they're probably thinking the right way because if we would have lost our fight.
Oh, it's all out the window.
Then it's all out the window. Maybe a bit of secure that $10 million, put that away, and then say, okay, now we'll go for the other. If we lose, we lose. But I still got a chance to come back up.
But we lose with $10 million in our pockets.
But when you lose to a Palooka, I can't say a Palooka. Let's forget that word. Let's use a B-class fighter.
Then, the guy no one's ever heard of. Yeah, call it what you call it.
You know,
there's levels to this game.
You don't want to say that a guy doesn't have the talent. He's hungry. He's young.
And I like that he'll fight anybody. And, fighting Canelo and Triple G. He's never fought 160 before.
I mean, there's fighters that haven't even fought 10-round fights, and they're talking about, I can be champion. I know I can beat that guy. They have a lot of
confidence. And I like that.
And that's good to have in a young fighter. But
that's so skill.
But the real trainers and the people that know the game will say, you know, you're okay. I can look at a fighter 1 round, 2 rounds. I can tell right off the bat how much he's got left, if he's still green, or he's still got, if he got the skills to go all the way. I can tell that anybody who will talk about boxing, I know what they're talking about. When they talk about boxing like John is very knowledgeable, so I give him credit. But there's fighters out there that think that they know it all, and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell you, you got to step back. When you know it all, I'll tell you, you're ready. But some of these fighters, they're too young, and they make those mistakes. And we all make mistakes in life, especially when we're young. And that's why I learned a lot of mistakes that I made. And I admit it. I'm not perfect, you know, but I'm hard to beat.
I love it, baby. That's exciting, man. I love all of this. And I want to make sure I give a special shout-out to everybody listening, everybody watching. Thank you for letting us on your phones, on your computers, on your tablets, in your living rooms, wherever you've been, in your offices, in your cars, wherever you listen to us, wherever you watch us, wherever you've been a follower, a viewer, a fan for the last year and a half. Thank you for being that. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to, to come in and talk to you about boxing once a week. And I could not thank you enough because without you, we wouldn't be able to do this.
Okay, so once again, fans, I want to tell you that it's been an honor to having us in your room today listening to our show with John Zimmel, my co-host, and soon to be his own host of his own show, because he's definitely going places. And we want to make sure that we keep watching a young fighter like Teofimo Lopez, a young lightweight coming up. He has great opportunities coming up his way. He's another young fighter that's going to go places.
He's got a ton of star power, man.
Yeah. Again, fans, we love you guys. And remember, keep your guards up at all times. Protect yourself at all times. God bless you all. Take care. I'm fair, but I'm firm most of the time. Take care.
Fair but firm with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys. Let's touch them up. Three fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair but firm.